Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
Who doesn't want to belong and be understood, listened to, and respected? One of the biggest things that Taoism did for me was to help me begin to notice where it was that I wasn't paying attention. It brought me a sense of awareness by observing and increasing our awareness and noticing these patterns. Then we begin to say, oh, okay, we're just trying to achieve balance through unity by working with nature, not against nature. Everybody will still feel this sense of calm and peace. Imagine you have a static buzz in your head all day, and suddenly that's gone and you have clear signal. One of the biggest things for people is like, what's qi? Experience what qi is and experience what it feels like to live in a centered state. Balance and being centered is very, very important. There's something greater out there, and it is possible for them to grasp life and have it within their power to be able to get to where they need to be.
There was a time when Jose Mendoza felt like the odd one out, the kid who never quite fit in. And that ache to belong eventually became frustration, self-doubt, and a search for something more. But an unexpected introduction to Qigong, an ancient Taoist wisdom, changed the direction of his life in ways he could have never imagined. Today, Jose is a doctor of Chinese energy medicine, helping people find clarity, balance, and healing while building a community centered on these ancient practices. He's a featured author in our latest book, The Awakened Healer, 18 Pathways to Healing, Wholeness, and Conscious Living, available now on Amazon. He'll also be leading a Qigong workshop at our upcoming Awakened Life Expo, with tickets available at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com. In this conversation, you'll discover what Qigong really is, why ancient wisdom still matters today, and how small daily practices can create profound transformation from the inside out. I'm your host, David Trotter. Welcome to the Awakened Magazine podcast. Jose, it's great to be with you today. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Oh, no, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So in your chapter within The Awakened Healer, which comes out July 20th, actually just a few days before this interview is released, I'm excited for people to be able to read your story and your journey. You shared with such authenticity and vulnerability about some challenges that you were having prior to kind of getting on this spiritual path. And so I'm curious if you wouldn't mind telling us what was going on in your life, what was frustrating you back, I don't know, what was probably early 2000s, would you say?
Oh yeah, at least early 2000s, definitely before 2010.
Yeah, so what was going on in your life?
There was a lot going on at the time for me. I was in the middle of graduating from high school at that time. And throughout my younger life, I was the weird kid. You know, I was the kid that was picked last in dodgeball. I was the one that didn't really have anyone to associate with. I was just the oddball. And that was a consistent theme for me, even all the way through high school. I did have a group of friends that I was with, but it's like I never really felt like I belonged. And one of the major challenges with that is, of course, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of upset because who doesn't want to be part of a community? Who doesn't want to belong and be understood, listened to, and respected? Because also being the loner kid, there's a lot of disrespect that goes along with that towards me in particular. But these old woundies were really driving every decision that I had in life. And as we came, because at the time I was living in San Diego, so as my spouse now and I were there at the time, then things took a shift, because then I got really serious with the Qigong and I attended this event, got deeper into spirituality. I always had a little bit of an inclination towards, I mean, being the weird kid, I guess it came naturally, but the supernatural things.
Really? So even as a kid, you were connected to that realm?
Yeah, there was an interest. I just didn't know how to express it or really dive deeper beyond ghost stories, I guess you could say, okay, when I was younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you grow up with some sort of like spirituality or faith as part of your home life, or not so much?
I grew up Catholic. So in my household, both my parents were Catholic. We attended church and we did most of the other Catholic things. Most of my schooling was actually through Catholic school too, through elementary. So there was a lot of that as a background for me.
So you're not really diving too much into the frustration here that I read in your chapter, because I want people to get a feeling of that, like, because that is so beautiful, the transformation that happened in your life. But would if you were to describe some of how that frustration was playing out in your life prior to finding Qigong, how would you describe it?
It was multifaceted because I'm also the kind of person that wants to get my hands in everything. But as we know, it's like when you put your hands in everything, you're spread too thin. And one of the things is also coming back to the wounding was that I felt that I wasn't enough. And a lot of the anger was really self-directed towards myself because now I have to go and like prove myself. I need to show people, that I'm capable and rub it in their face. But that wasn't helping so much as it was hindering. And at the time, I was working in the airline industry, actually. I was helping to load planes, I was helping to do customer service. And I really wanted to break out and do something once again to come from that wounding aspect. I wanted recognition more than anything else, recognition and praise. And as I started to practice Qigong, one of the first things I noticed was that I narrowed down and really focused and honed in on what mattered most. Because I kid you not, you could probably see my range of interests and the things I've put my hands in, and it'll be shocking. It's a big list. I was trying to do everything and learn everything all at once, but it's too much on my plate. And at the time, because I was working in the airlines, there was also a moment in time where we had to shift. We lost a contract and we shifted to a different company. And I also took a major pay cut. So talk about not being enough. Now I'm worth even less, at least in my mind, because now I took this bigger pay cut. But the practice has really helped to soften that for me because now the frustration that I had, and there was really a lot of lashing out with loved ones. Because, I mean, where else is there a safer space to really let out all the pent-up frustration and anger than to do it around who you feel safest with? It's always loved ones. And that was really a big turning point for me because I noticed in myself that there was really something wrong with all this lashing out. And over time with the practices, it dwindled. It dwindled. Now, something that would have caused me to explode, it just made me notice it and say, oh, okay, hey, like, careful.
Who introduced you to Qigong? And even just tell us after you tell me who introduced you, I want to hear what it is, because I know some people, might have a preconception, preconceived idea of what it is, but like, I want to hear from you.
The first person that introduced me to it, his name was Jerry White. And he was in my small town, he was a kung fu master. But he held this seminar. It was a one-day seminar. He came in and this other man came in and they both taught a little bit of Qigong. And it was really nice. It was really beautiful. That was my first experience with it back in 2009. And it was there and I knew it existed. But like I said, it wasn't until 2011 I went and then I began to learn a little more. And then I studied under someone named Pedram Shojai. And his blew me out of the water. I had never experienced something quite like that before. And thus, I really said, I want to do more of this. Like, what is this? Fundamentally, Qigong, so it's two Chinese characters. As I alluded to, everyone's familiar with Kung Fu. So the Kung and the Fu both refer to work hard. Because if you've seen people do Kung Fu, the training they do, it's very hard, strenuous work. But we take the same gong from Kung Fu, and that becomes part of the Qigong. So now you have Qi and Gong. So you know it's work, but the Qi refers to life force energy or vitality. It's what makes up everything around us. It courses through you and animates you in this physical tissue. So Qigong is working with this life force or this vital energy that resides in us and around us. And the way we do this is by manipulating the physical body into certain positions to achieve a specific energetic change. And that's where Qigong really shines, because with Taoism, we're working from a body-first perspective. We're not seeking to go to these higher realms. We're not seeking to work with these upper centers at the beginning. We're here, we're in the solid tissue, and so we work with the solid tissue to then affect everything that is above us.
You just mentioned Taoism. Would you mind just giving us a quick primer on what that is and how you've potentially, or particularly, I should say, integrated that into your own life?
Absolutely. Taoism is very interesting because if you look at one of the core works that most people are familiar with, the Tao Te Ching, the very first thing that's mentioned is the Tao that cannot be named, or the Tao that can be named is not the true eternal Tao. Something that cannot have a name to it, something that cannot be described. So it's kind of a little bit of a running joke to say, then what is Taoism? Well, we can't really tell you, because if we tell you, then it's not really Taoism now, is it? But on a more practical level, what Taoism is living in unity with the Tao, which the Tao would represent the divine. But it's more than that, because on a practical level, Taoism is very practical since it's a body-first system. The rhythms and the cycles of nature are where we look to give us the signs and information we need to live. And a lot of it sounds very simplistic at first. When the sun rises, get up. When the sun sets, go to bed. When you're hungry, eat. When you're thirsty, drink. But I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. How many times do we go throughout our day and ignore the signs that we're given? Where when we're tired, we should rest and we push through. Or when we're thirsty or hungry, that we deny ourselves and keep going.
Or
and
more fundamentally, likely, when I'm not hungry, I just eat anyway.
Exactly. That's another one. Yeah, another common one. But fundamentally, one of the biggest things that Taoism did for me was to help me begin to notice where it was that I wasn't paying attention. It brought me a sense of awareness because, yeah, we know these cycles are around us, but we take them for granted and we don't really pay attention. But then by observing and increasing our awareness and noticing these patterns, then we begin to say, oh, okay, now I know that if I eat bread before bed, I'm not going to have a good time. So maybe I shouldn't eat bread before bed.
Would you call Taoism a religion, a faith, or is it something else?
It's a framework. See, there is a religious aspect to Taoism, but unlike other faith systems, Taoism is actually compatible with any other faith system that exists, because the core philosophy behind it is we're just trying to achieve balance through unity by working with nature, not against nature. So realistically, it fits into any religious framework. That's why I say it's more of a framework than anything else. But we're not, at least here in the West, familiar with the fact that there is a religious component to it. You do have people that go, they get ordained, they go to temple, they say their prayers, they speak to the various gods that are in a pantheon. There is all this, but realistically, if we go far enough back, you get to see that it's a framework and it plugs and plays into any faith system that you have.
Mm-hmm. And how does Qigong and Taoism, sorry for the ignorant questions, I'm here, that's why I have a podcast, to learn from other people. So how did Qigong and Taoism like intersect? There's overlap or an embedding there? They go together?
Yes. If anything, you could say Qigong is a result of Taoism.
Okay.
That it comes down from it. The chicken or the egg is what most people always refer to. But I would argue and say that Taoism came first, but we didn't know it as Taoism back then. If you follow it, the history is very interesting. If you follow it back far enough before the written word, they had what they called Wu Yi. And Wu Yi were like medicine men, the shamans of China. And even Qigong was usually referred to as Dao Yin, which is more of yin practices. It's the same idea and the same concept, but they've existed since time immemorial. In fact, there's some lineages that claim to go back 6,000 years or more. And if you consider the written word in China, maybe 5,000 or 4,500 BC, it's like Qigong has been around since before the written word. Thus, I would really say that Taoism had to come first because you see all the Taoist influences in Qigong themselves. When you talk about yin and yang balance, when you talk about the five element balance, which are all fundamental parts of Taoism, they all really shine. So you could say the framework existed and then it gave us the practical exercise of Qigong.
So you started going to Qigong classes, experiences, and then started doing it on your own. How did this start to really ramp up in your own life?
Well, I made a dedication to myself where I said, let me do this for 100 days and just see what happens. And I'll be a little honest. There's this phrase that they call chasing the dragon. What chasing the dragon is most of us have had some sort of practice or experience that makes us feel really good. Then we want to replicate it. And then it may not happen. But then we try again, and we try again, and we try again. So that concept is known as chasing the dragon because you're trying to find the exact same thing that happened. So in the beginning, I'll be straight honest here, that was one of the things is I felt so good, I wanted to chase that again. And so I kept trying to chase it. After a while, that levels off, and then you're just doing the practice. But the magic doesn't stop there just because we stop feeling it. So for me, I was going through this 100-day because I said I want to do this. But I noticed that my life around the house would shift. My life at work would shift. I wasn't grumpy. I mean, I worked in a high-stress environment, and when I didn't really practice beforehand, I'd get a little more irritated, I'd get a little more snappy. But then with the practice, I tended to be the calmest person in the room, despite the fact that it's a high-stress environment.
How long would you practice Qigong? What are the types of movements that, you know, just give us an example of that just for those of us who are new to this.
It depends on the form. It depends on who teaches you, but there are Qigong sets that can be as long as 15 minutes. And then there are some that can be as long as 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. It all depends on how you compile things. Mm-hmm. Qigong isn't just moving, because one thing that people get confused with is Tai Chi. They'll say, oh, is this Tai Chi? It's not. Qigong and Tai Chi are related. Tai Chi comes from Qigong, but Tai Chi is more martial application. But it's the same idea. But within Qigong, we have movement, we have standing, and then we have sitting. So you have three different styles of meditation that's built into one framework. And even within those, there's different levels to it. So an example, we could say there's movement in movement as I'm doing the form, but there's also stillness in movement while I'm doing the form. So there's various ways that you can do these practices and continue to grow. It's, you're not always doing the same thing. There's always the next step, the next refinement to them.
Mm-hmm. No laying down. They nix that part.
Usually no, because when you do these practices, you're very liable to fall asleep.
Right. Okay. So yeah.
Most Taoist practices are not done laying down. Sitting is good enough. And sitting is also beneficial for some people because of the fact that they make you fall asleep. You don't fall because you're already in the chair.
So even in the physical movements of standing up, it can bring your body to a place of peace or rest that you would begin to move into that place of sleepiness.
Yes, for some people, they'll get into that sleepy state very, very quickly. Everybody's body is a little different. You want to think of it like a terrain. If you go to Argentina, it's different compared to when you go to the Southwest US. That's different than when you go to Louisiana. It's different than when you go to China. It's like everybody's terrain is just a little different. So the effects that they'll get are a little different too. For some people, they'll fall asleep quickly. For others, it might take them a while, but everybody will still feel this sense of calm and peace. And for some people have told me that it's a sort of head feeling where they have this. The best way I think they described it was, imagine you have a static buzz in your head all day and suddenly that's gone and you have clear signal.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so then you became so enamored and transformed by this, you decided to dive in head first in terms of education.
Yes, absolutely. I went head first into the deep end. I said, I'm going all the way.
What did that look like?
Well, the opportunity popped up for me. It was right after Well, it started before COVID, to be honest, but I jumped in just a little after, where there was a 4-year program to focus on medical Qigong. We have Qigong, but even within Qigong, there's subsets and forms. Like there's martial Qigong and then there's medical Qigong. So this was specifically around the medical aspect of Qigong. And when I looked at it, I said, this sounds really interesting. Let me try this. And when I got there, I said, this was great. Let me finish this. And so 4 hours, 4,000, or sorry, 4 years, 4,000 hours later, then I completed and I received a doctorate in this. The
In
title
Chinese
is
energy medicine.
exactly. That's what the title is. But that one is just a particular teaching of medical Qigong.
So help me understand medical Qigong. How is that different than somebody just practicing it on their own?
That's great. So somebody practicing on their own, it depends on the style, because like I said, there's also martial. So you may be practicing a form that's more martial, that's prep work for you to actually train and do fighting. But when you're working with medical, our primary focus is to enhance the vitality and the health of the body further. What people don't do with some of their practices, for example, is there isn't clearing. And when you want to clear something to really build something, if I have a glass and the glass is dirty, but I want to drink out of it and it's my only glass, I really should clean it, because if I just pour water into it and drink it, that's dirty water. I'll still be hydrated, but is it going to taste good? Is it going to make me sick? So realistically, you want to clear the glass, clear the vessel. And then you can pour in the beverage of choice. And I'll say beverage of choice because realistically, everybody wants something a little different. And medical Qigong, we're focusing specifically on, as I said, the health and the vitality of the body. Maybe I have a little bit of a liver issue. Then with medical Qigong, I can focus on that, really work through that, and move beyond that. That's where we really get the beauty of medical Qigong, is it's very targeted and specific, depending on what the need is. Whereas when you're doing a form of any other kind, it's a general form that's good for overall health and vitality, but it's not targeted to what you really want to clear.
Amazing. So for your 4,000 hour program, what was driving you? What was the motivation to go through this program?
Well, part of it was I was told to. And what I mean by that is, I had received insight a while back. See, ever since I was little, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. At least in my mind, I said, doctor's what I want to do. I want to help people, I want to heal people. But of course, the only thing I see are physicians. And I never got that far. I did go to school and ended up in the medical field assisting, but I never became a full-fledged MD. Because as I grew and I learned and I began to experience all these different things and I began to get acupuncture and learn about Chinese medicine, I said, this is more what I want to do. This is helping people live better lives in an impactful way with less biological cost. You know, there's no surgery, there's no cutting open, there's no 6 weeks to recovery. And that's what really drove me, is I always had this urge. But then, as I said, I received insight where it said, you need to go this route. You need to continue down this route of healing, and you need to go and learn so that you can actually help people on a deeper level. To which I said, okay, and here I am.
Does the work that you do also include things like acupuncture or cupping or those types of things, or is it's a different focus?
Acupuncture, no. So anything that involves needles, no. But everything else is allowed. Like there's cupping, there's seven different tools that are in Chinese medicine. The acupuncture needles are one. There's acupuncture, there's cupping, there's moxibustion, there's Tuina, there's Qigong, there's herbalism, and then there's food dietary therapy. So pretty much anything that's not the needles are fair game on the table. It's like there is a Qigong massage that exists, there's the cupping, there's the moxibustion, which for those that don't know, I'm saying the term, assuming everybody knows, it's where you take, think of a sage bundle, like smudging, and then that's used in place of needles to help drive energy up the channels and help bring balance to the body.
And when you're working with clients individually, what are the things that they're generally coming to you with, the presenting problems or challenges?
Most people that I've worked with simply feel stuck. They lack clarity. And it shows up in different ways, but it always comes back to the same thing. One person said that they were having trouble because they're trying to move and they're trying to sell the house, but they don't know which direction to go or what to do, for example. And so they lacked clarity. Another one was having relationship issues and a lot of grief around that, and she didn't know how to proceed. Once again, it was lack of clarity. So I would say the bulk of them are lack of clarity. And then there's a small subset that show up that are also cancer. There's a lot of cancer that shows up too.
And so how do you work differently with someone who just needs clarity versus someone who has a cancer?
Sometimes the person that needs clarity, well, let's be honest. The way I work is I pull on a thread. And as I pull on the thread, something releases. And sometimes that's enough. But for other people, even if it's just clarity, pulling on that thread opens something else up. Now let's go patch this over here. So it really depends on the person's situation, but typically with anybody, it's always a me and you type situation. Imagine there's a dam that's occluding a river. That river is your river. Without the flow, everything downstream is dying. It needs that water. You could try to work on it, but when we're in a session, I'm assisting you. I'm over on the shore telling you which stick to pull. There's loose ones that we work with, small little ones. And as we work, we progress to bigger ones. But if a stick doesn't want to come out, we don't remove it. Over time, once we remove enough of the sticks damming the river's weight itself will remove the obstruction. Thus, it's always a me and you. I'm there softening things. And then the client is always working on their own to ensure that they, one, maintain that state, but two, continue softening it on their end to make my work easier. Almost as if I'm shaping clay, but they're the ones adding water.
And when you talk about pulling on the thread, is this while they're doing movements, you are kind of working energetically, or is this more a verbal conversation where it's more of a coaching type experience?
It's twofold. There is some verbal coaching, but it's not them moving, it's me moving. So they lay on the table as if they were going to get an acupuncture treatment, for example. Okay. And I'm there assisting, moving, clearing, and enhancing.
So they're laying flat. Now, and if this is done even remotely, someone could just lay down like right here in their home or office and you're working from a distance.
Right. You could lay down right now where you are and I can work on you.
Don't tempt me. We could be here for an hour. I love that. That'd be awesome. Amazing. And so as you have someone lay down, they've presented their challenge to you, whatever it might be. And then I know I'm asking a question that requires 4 years and 4,000 hours of experience to answer, but what are you doing? Right? They're laying there. All right. So a lot of people have Reiki as a modality in their mind. Like, oh, this must be like Reiki, which I'm assuming that's probably offensive.
It's not. It's yes, but no. Reiki is very intuitive, let the energy flow and do what it needs to do. When I have a client there, yes, it's similar. Energy is going to do what it needs to do because energy is intelligent enough. In fact, energy is more intelligent than we are and knows what to do. But the difference is I'm also targeted. So imagine surgical Reiki, and that's closer to what it is that I do. You come in and you have this issue. Okay, I'm going to clear. I have a structured method where I work through you depending on the issue, but it's also intuitive. If something pops up, then I need to work on that as well. I had a lady that came in one time and she had shoulder issues. She received acupuncture and she said that sometimes after acupuncture, her shoulders felt worse from being on that table. So I laid her down on the table and she was kind of starting to get a little nervous because she said, this is the same kind of table I get acupuncture on. I said, it's not a problem. We're going to work through it. It's going to be fine. And I work on her. despite the fact that her primary thing was her shoulders, I go through, I have my structured method, and in the middle of it, this area lights up. That's interesting. Clear that out and continue on with the process. And so this is how it varies. And from person to person, it's slightly different because the intuitive aspects of what's ready to leave comes up, but it's still within the same structural framework. So it kind of comes back to that Taoism as a framework that fits into anything idea.
And do you have clients, as they are experiencing this, have physical or emotional or verbal manifestations that are arising?
Yes, it's a little different for everybody. That lady, for example, she didn't have anything come up except for the fact that when she sat up, she said, "My shoulders don't hurt at all." Mm-hmm. And that was the first time she had no pain in her shoulders for a very long time. There was another gal who she had a big sense of relief, but she was really concerned about her fertility in that moment. Hmm. You know, so it manifests a little differently for some people. There are some people that will shed a tear. Hmm. One lady in particular had something very, very big release for her that she thought she had worked through. And so, of course, afterwards, she was a little teary-eyed as well. Hmm. It really depends on what's ready to go and on the person.
Do you find that after you have these sessions, you are physically or emotionally drained or tired, energized, or just kind of neutral?
No, we actually, the saying goes in the clinic that if we don't have a hard time falling asleep because we're buzzing, something was off about what we were doing that day. Hmm. We have a lot of fail safes built into our system to ensure that, one, I'm not putting my crud into you, mm-hmm. and two, your crud's not coming on to me. Mm-hmm. And realistically, although I'm saying that I'm working on you, it's not really me. We have a method where we connect and we're using divine source to work through us and do all the work. Mm-hmm. We're simply just a conduit at that point.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I'm curious about your family's perspective on your just immersing yourself in Taoism and Qigong and, like, you know, what happened to the Latin Catholic upbringing?
I still hold a lot of love for, like, Catholicism, because there is a lot of similarities between Catholicism and Taoism the deeper you actually go. But you have to, for those who are, like, repulsed by it, you have to go beyond that to really see the similarities between them. But, like, immediate family, the spouse, she's actually practicing and doing a lot of stuff alongside with me now. My kids, I have two boys, they also partake and they do some of the practices, and they're aware of these things.
How old are they?
They're actually interesting. Yeah, they're both intuitive in slightly different ways. It's very fascinating. For a while, I was treating my mom. She's received treatments from me too. So she's open and she knows that I'm doing something. She doesn't know quite what it is, but she's had her experiences with it as well.
That's great. That is wonderful. Okay, so you are going to be presenting a workshop at Awakened Lifestyle Expo, which I'm stoked about, called, you'll be a vendor there as well, so people can get to know you and connect with you. But the workshop is entitled Experiencing the Power of Qigong. And what can people expect when they attend your workshop?
Well, one of the biggest things for people is, like, what's qi? I don't know what qi is. And so one of the things with the workshop is not just experience qigong, but actually experience what qi is and experience what it feels like to live in a centered state. Because, like I said, with Taoism, balance and being centered is very, very important. And with this workshop, you'll get to experience that. You'll get some tools that can help you with that, but you'll get to experience firsthand what qi and qigong really is.
Beautiful, beautiful. So Awakened Lifestyle Expo, of course, is August 22nd, 23rd, 2026 in Costa Mesa. And so people can get tickets at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com. What's next for you, Jose? I know you work in the surgical field and mm-hmm. you simultaneously help people with Chinese energy medicine, which a lot of the people that we connect with here, you know, have feet in multiple worlds. So what's your vision? What are you looking at in terms of your next steps?
One of the next steps is really having a community where we can come together and work the Qigong, work these practices and actually begin to live in this way. Taoism being such a big thing for me is I've been involved with it for so long now that I'm officially going and will be receiving ordination in a few years through one of the major lineages, the Zhengyi lineage in China. But realistically, it's having the community and learning about these practices, having these practices coming together, because coming from the weird kid who was always kicked out of every group, isolation is horrible. It's not fun. And when you don't have anyone to talk to or anyone to share these experiences with, but that was the original concept behind religion. See, you have people that say, what's the difference between spirituality and religion? Well, spirituality, those are your experiences with the divine. And religion is a community of people that come together to have a shared experience and share their experiences that they had from the divine.
And so your desire is, I'm not hearing that you're wanting to create a new religion, but you do want to bring people together to share their experiences. And you call it the Qi Circle. And the kind of the entry point is on school, right? SKOOL.com.
Correct. Yes.
And so what is that? What does that look like as it's coming together for you? Like if people join that, it will link to it, of course. What could they expect?
One, of course, is Qigong classes. There'll be live Qigong classes that are there that we can all partake, come together as a community and talk. There's also going to be other live events where we just get together, ask questions and talk, get to know one another. But I'm also putting up recorded Qigongs for people to practice whenever they want, recorded meditations. And a lot of other educational information is going to be on there, such as what is Chinese medicine and how does it work? Like, what are some of the concepts? How does Qigong help my anxiety? How does Qigong benefit someone like me who's working not just 9 to 5, but also balancing the role of parent and balancing the role of child to my aging parents and so on and so forth? There's a lot that's being put into that community because I want to make sure that people have access to tools for their situation. And I also want to bring a lot of value to them because I could sit here and say, yeah, we're just doing Qigong. And that's great. But I want this to be more of a community where people come together and learn that there's something greater out there. And it is possible for them to grasp life and have it within their power to be able to get to where they need to be.
You seem very composed, at peace, chill in our interaction. Have you always had that type of personality, or is this kind of a result of some of these practices that you've been cultivating, or combination?
There was a little bit of it, but with the practices, that's really expanded leaps and bounds beyond what it used to be. Mm-hmm. Once again, weird kid, lonely, yeah, but quiet because of that. So of course, didn't really want to make waves, didn't really want to do anything. But you could ask my mother, she'd probably say that I was a bit of an explosive wild kid at home. So a lot of that really tempered down and really, really just deepened into that calm, centered peace state from these practices.
Beautiful, beautiful. You are a teacher without a doubt. Like you just come across as a teacher, and I assume you know that. Like it just feels so effortless the way you describe these things and the metaphors and the way that you kind of allow words to dance. I mean, you are definitely a teacher without a doubt. It feels good to hear you talk about these things in ways that are both understandable, but also calling me to like do my own research.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay. So we've got the Qi Circle on school. I also saw you're on Insight Timer. Are you still active on there or is that from the past?
No, I'm still there. I still have some things that I post on there. I haven't been able to get the videos up lately. There's been an issue with that. They just added video onto Insight Timer, but I do have a little page on there. I think that one is insighttimer.com/Taoist Dude. I believe that that's what the link is. I'll make sure that the correct link is sent to you if that's something of interest. But yeah, I'm on Insight Timer. There's audio meditations and soon to be videos.
That's great. Awesome. And people can work with you directly. Do you generally, are those sessions an hour in length in person and remote, or how long are they generally?
I have two different sessions that I do. One is 30 minutes and one is an hour. Because if somebody comes to me and they just need a tune up, like they're just like, something's off, I don't know what it is, you know, could you balance me? Sure. And that's just a 30 minute session because it's just a quick, tell me what's going on. let's get you on here. The actual treatment session is not very long. The sitting down and talking tends to be longer, but when someone comes in with a more serious issue, then that's when we look at the hour-long session. We sit down, really talk about what it is to do, what we need to do, get down to the process. And then, of course, there's always post-care afterwards where I tell the client, hey, really recommend that you do these this week and then come back and see me.
And so what's the best place for people to reach out to you to book a session, join the Chi School, and also your email list?
Yeah. So school would be the best place typically for sessions. I've had some people message me through Instagram. That works too, but I'm not as active on Instagram right now as I am with the community here. And of course, there's also the newsletter. If you sign up for the newsletter and you join the newsletter, I mean, that's direct email access to me. So you could always reach out too that way.
Awesome. Well, we will link to all those things, of course, in the show notes, and excited for people to read your chapter in The Awakened Healer and also join you for the workshop and stop by your vendor table at Awakened Lifestyle Expo. So Jose, it's great to be with you. Thank you for educating us on Qigong. And I got to say, I think I'm going to be pulling up a YouTube video here in the next couple of days to learn some things. So that might be just like the baby step for me into this world. So thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.